In a world filled with movies, comedies, dramas, thrillers, and action-packed adventures, only one podcast dives deep into the magnificent titles found on HBO Max, and only one man can host such a show.
Me! Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the HBO Max Movie Club. My name is Matt Rogers, if I remember correctly, and I'm almost positive I do. I haven't forgotten myself yet, but maybe I need Hugh Jackman to stick me in his contraption and take me back to one of my memories so I can double-check. This is the part where I hold for your applause because of that incredible introduction to the film this week, Reminiscence. A futuristic neo-noir dramatic sci-fi thriller from writer-director, the one and only Lisa Joy, one of the creators of Westworld, everyone's fave. Reminiscence stars Hugh Jackman, Rebecca Ferguson, and one of truly my top actors that breathes air in the year 2021 and every year, Tandy Wei Newton, I stan, who you may also know from her Emmy-winning turn as Maeve on the aforementioned Westworld, streaming now on, you're never going to believe this, HBO Max. As always, for those of you who have not yet streamed the film on HBO Max or headed out to the theaters to go check Reminiscence out, my guest and I are going to be getting into some straight-up spoiler territory in the main part of this episode, and this is really one where you're not going to want to be spoiled. It's very in the vein of Inception. It's a very, you know, Nolanian film. It's really one of those modern odysseys of the mind where there's twists and turns in the plot involving a mysterious and sometimes ghostly lover, sudden character reveals you don't expect, and it's probably best to just keep this a fresh experience upon viewing. So go see or stream it now, and I'll be here. If not, you'll have to find Hugh Jackman in the future, and he'll have to just have you remember a time when you didn't know how Reminiscence ends. So this is your official spoiler warning. So in Reminiscence, Hugh Jackman plays Nick Bannister, who's a rugged and solitary veteran living in a near-future Miami flooded by rising seas. So by the way, if you were really devastated by that recent climate report, this might not be the movie for you at this moment. It might trigger you a bit. But anyway, he's an expert in a dangerous occupation. He offers clients the chance to relive any memory they desire. His life changes one day when he meets a mysterious young woman named May, played by the gorgeous and talented Rebecca Ferguson. So what begins as a simple matter of lost and found becomes a passionate love affair. But when a different client's memories implicate May in a series of violent crimes, Nick must delve through the dark world of the past to uncover the truth about the woman he fell for. Done much? I think so. This movie is really fun. It's fantastic. It's a true definition of neo-noir in that it's very much now. It's very much a climate change ravaged atmosphere, you know, very now, very modern. But it's still very, of all the weird memory visitation chambers in Miami, she walked into mine. You know, you get it? We're throwing it back to film noir here, and the detective stories that make up the primary inspiration for that genre, which is very much, you know, mysterious woman shows up at the office of a detective looking for help. So this is a genre that particularly centers around private detectives that are searching out mysteries and shady underbellies of city life. So in that way, this movie, Reminiscence, attempts to update the genre for a new audience with its dystopian vision of the future. It revels in many of the tropes of the genre, like dark and foreboding lighting, you know, creepy underworld henchmen, double-crossed lovers, that hairstyle women have where, like, the hair sort of cascades over one eye, etc. You get it. Several more classic examples of the genre are available on the HBO Max platform, and they include such classics as The Maltese Falcon, The Naked City, and Brute Force. If I had to liken this particular film to one movie in the film noir genre that's probably the most famous example, I would say Chinatown. This movie is very Chinatown, which is not on HBO Max, but it's okay. You know, that's actually okay. That's okay. So today on the show, we are welcoming one of my very best friends and truly one of my favorite people in the world. I have so much fun with her. And soon to be one of your very favorite people when you listen to this, the unbelievable comedian and actress Greta Titelman, who you might know from the hilarious HBO comedy Los Espookies, which, by the way, you can check out now on HBO Max. So let's welcome her and reminisce about Reminiscence.
One of my favorite people to reminisce with, just to sort of use the title of the podcast in a little intro segment here. We're so blessed, and I do use the word blessed, okay? Even though I don't find myself to be a very religious person, I still feel the blessings, or as Christina Aguilera once said, blessed, because I'm here joined with truly my sister in life, in love, and oftentimes under the same roof. I don't know, as Oprah once said about Gail, I don't know a better person. This is an actress, comedian extraordinaire. You know her from, yes, Los Espookies on HBO. Okay, the synergy of it all. Everyone, please welcome kindly to the HBO Max Movie Club, Greta Titelman.
Oh my gosh, Matt, what a gorgeous intro. You always make me blush.
Did you feel it was gorgeous and you blushed?
I felt that, you know, I wish I could have recorded it and played it for myself every morning.
I have good news for you.
What?
This is recorded and you can listen to it
and
as,
I can
literally
play it
as much
every
as you
morning.
Want.
Oh my God.
Huge to hear.
Wow.
We have so many things to reminisce about.
We have so many things to reminisce about. I mean, you know, the film being the main one to reminisce about.
Well, reminiscence. We watched it the other day together.
We did.
We sort of had like a morning moment.
Yes. Because I love a movie in the morning. To me, that's luxury. Mm-hmm. To me, that's saying I have all the time in the world.
Yeah.
And I'm going to just spend the morning doing this.
And it was a Sunday morning.
It was a Sunday morning and we were cozy, a little hungover.
Cozy as hell, hungover as absolute shit.
Yep.
But dropped in.
Dropped in.
To sort of really, I guess, receive.
Yes, absorb.
Absorb.
Yes.
And enjoy Reminiscence, starring Hugh Jackman.
He's very hot.
I mean, it's been said before, and we're going to say it again and again and again. The man is a gorgeous specimen.
Stunning. And, you know, sometimes I feel like we sleep on him. Sometimes I feel like we are not awake to his gorgeousity until we see him on screen. Because he's not someone that you list as top five gorge.
Even though I do think he once was sexiest man alive.
Of course, when he was Wolverine.
Yeah, I think back in the day he was named the sexiest man alive. I think he's claimed that title.
I think he was sexiest man alive in either 2003 or 2005.
Okay, we are getting it confirmed. We are getting it confirmed. He was sexiest man alive in 2008.
Okay.
The year when we graduated high school.
And that is a lucky year.
It's a huge year. Sometimes,
huge year.
Do you ever have that thing in your mind where you're always positive it's a year that it's not? I almost always think it's 2008. That's when I stopped maturing.
Yes. It's the year that... No, but for me, I always think it's 2008 because Hugh Jackman has always been the sexiest man alive.
And there we go.
There we go.
I mean, only the hottest men like Blake Shelton have gotten this.
And, well, I do think that John Legend is very hot.
Well, he is very hot. You know, isn't it interesting how a lot of the voice coaches somehow end up people's sexiest men? Is there sort of a, you know, secret partnership happening there?
Peut-être.
Speaking of The Voice, you had never seen The Greatest Showman.
I had never seen The Greatest Showman. I need to watch The Greatest Showman.
We'll do that later.
And today. I was thrilled to find out Rebecca Ferguson. Also, I would just like to, first of all, just say, not to be a superficial bitch, but...
Not to be a superficial bitch.
Reminiscence.
Yeah.
Cast across the board.
Hotties.
Stunning. And this is why, thank you, Lisa Joy, this is why I also love Westworld.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's just taking...
Glamour.
Glamour. Old Hollywood.
Yes.
It's giving, you know, sex and grunge and grime and then surreal, stunning luxury.
Maybe neo-noir.
Neo-noir.
This movie we can only describe as neo-noir or new film noir.
Yes.
Film noir happening now.
Yes.
So we sort of see Rebecca. So the reason I make this Greatest Showman connection is because we're watching the film the other day on a Sunday morning, hungover as shit, cozy as hell, Greta and I.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're sitting there and I'm saying, this is very similar, this movie, to The Greatest Showman because Hugh Jackman watched Rebecca Ferguson sing in absolute awe, falling in love with her in both of these films because Rebecca Ferguson sings some tunes. She plays like a mysterious lounge singer here.
Mm-hmm.
And famously in The Greatest Showman, she played an opera singer who Hugh Jackman was her agent. And I said, this is just like The Greatest Showman and you hadn't seen that film.
I hadn't seen that film. But you know what I'm a sucker for? And you know what?
What are you a sucker for?
A vintage microphone. You're giving me that gorgeous, oddly diamond-shaped whatever microphone.
Yeah.
And I am a sucker for that. She's, and the little microphone.
So there's the scene where Rebecca Ferguson and, like, when they're in the reminiscence and they're looking back at, like, an old memory of Rebecca Ferguson singing.
At a bar. More of a bar rather than a lounge.
And, of course, it was a cordless mic. A cordless, tiny. As we all know, there's so many tiny cordless mics just running about, especially in dystopian Miami future. And Greta was like, oh my God, her mic technique.
Her mic technique. Honestly, worth watching, if not for the entire film, just for Rebecca Ferguson's mic techniques. She's dropped in.
And also, here's how you can track Rebecca Ferguson throughout the movie and sort of how we, the audience, are supposed to feel about her. And I do think this is iconic. So when she's supposed to be a mysterious vixen, the wig is laid. She's got glamorous, like Veronica Lake, Kim Basinger, yes. LA Confidential yes. hair. Like, I have most of my hair over one eye and can yes. you trust me? And then, spoiler alert, and I've said in my monologue there was going to be spoilers, so this is one of them. Towards the end, when mm-hmm. you find out she's heroic,
yep.
she sort of has her hair tossed off in like a practical ponytail.
Which is the sign of a hero, of yes. a female heroes, always a sloppy ponytail.
Lara Croft.
You know, name any of the girls in any of the Marvels.
Oh, honey.
You know, it's either down and in that billowed curl, that like Cosmo Mai Tai from Dry Bar,
right.
or it's
Jesus,
or it's
the most
in...
Greta Titleman sentence I ever heard.
Or it's in the pony. And I think Jessica Alba has worn a pony, and you know, Jessica Alba is a hero in many things.
Yes.
And...
Well, it's so funny because like there's like that middle of the movie where it's like a gray area where you really don't know whether
is she good, is she bad, is she good, is she bad.
And her hair is very indistinct.
Yes.
It's sort of in this weird chop.
It's kind of like a
not
PR.
Conditions.
It's like a very PR girl.
Yes.
It's a lob, a long bob, kind of sharp edge, straight. It's straight.
Yeah.
And that is a hairstyle where you do say to yourself, can I trust this?
Because I couldn't trust you to do it. I couldn't trust you to put it up in a practical ponytail to save kids.
Jessica Rabbit's hair that she has in the beginning, we trust. She's sobbing and we trust.
Well, she's like, and let's just say, in terms of the crying in this movie, some gorgeous, I mean, Greta goes at one point, she goes, and you have to ask this question with all movies, okay?
And look, we're in the biz, honey.
We're in the biz. We're actors, performers, we get it. We're often on camera. And so Greta would sort of, as we were watching it, she sort of nudge me and she'd go, Tear stick, or is that real?
Well, because there are so many beautiful tears.
It's gorgeous, the crying.
The cinematography in the movie is also very, you know, if you're a Westworld fan, it's kind of just signature of of Lisa Joy, who's the
top tier
creator, top tier.
Top tier. And here's the deal.
Top tiers. Yes, because some of those tears were just stunning little jewels falling out of their eyes.
I mean, Rebecca Ferguson, this is a face that was made to be on camera. I mean, you can't look like her and be like, and I say this with love, but like a teacher or a nurse.
No.
You know what I mean?
No.
You can't.
And you meet those people sometimes and you're like, wow, honey, you want to like pull out a cigarette and like pull them aside and be like, let me tell you about this town called Hollywood. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You can't have that face and like, hi, I'm like a therapist. Because if I'm going to sit with you and you're my therapist and you look like Rebecca Ferguson, I'm like, honey, you should be out there acting.
Well, I had an experience when I had to go to Lens Crafters in the beginning of the summer.
What happened?
And the optometrist was Isa Gonzalez. Like, was unreal.
Like a model.
Unbelievable.
And you probably couldn't stop talking about it.
I was obsessed. I told my husband, I was like, you got to go and get your eyes checked by this doctor.
Because you're not going to believe your eyes.
You're not going to believe your eyes.
Honey.
And to me, it would be the equivalent if Rebecca Ferguson was like, you go into Lens Crafters and she's like, hey, let me fit you
for
contacts.
Hey, I'm Rebecca.
Yeah.
It's like, no, you're a star.
Yeah.
And you got to get out of here. It's like, you know what? So this is another HBO Max shout out. And by the way, doing great work recently, this HBO Max streaming service. So,
only streamer I like.
Only whoop.
Only streamer employing me right now.
That's actually, you know, the credits are rolling in.
The credits are rolling.
So we're watching The White Lotus the other day because The White Lotus is our favorite show. And Mike White, we shout out.
We love Mike White.
A true icon. So we're watching it. And so spoiler alert for White Lotus, just jump ahead maybe a minute. So the character Kai in the show is like in need of money. And like the bitchy evil white daughter's best friend that's like fucking him is like, you have to go into their hotel room and steal the jewels. They're worth $75,000. I'm like, you know, what he needs to do is move to L.A. Because I'm sorry, but whenever a character is in a tough spot with money in any film and television, I'm always just like, well, you look like that. Move to L.A. You're going to book way more than I ever
do. You know, that actor in real life is Hawaiian. He, like, fully lives in Hawaii.
And he's also an actor and a model.
I mean, so I'm his saying, name is Kikoa Scott Kekumano in real life. Look him up.
Hot.
He is so out of this world hot.
Yeah, it's literally crazy.
He was my, when I would go on, and like, when I would go, my, we never went on family vacations anywhere, but like in my mind.
You would go to the White Lotus.
I would go to the White Lotus, and in my mind, I would fuck him.
Yeah. Well, you do see is, we get, as Rosie O'Donnell used to say, we get a good hiney shot in this show of Kai.
Okay, and let's, loved it. And let's get back to Reminiscence, though.
So let's just get back to Reminiscence, because it's what I'm paid to do.
And also, I need romance and sex. I need a little bit of it in something.
Honey,
you know?
The sex scene in this. We talk about cinematography. It was a sex scene between Hugh Jackman, Rebecca Ferguson, and the camera and the natural light.
And the natural light, mother. The camera was the
gagging.
Third. I was gagged. And the shot sequence was just wild. We don't see it like that.
No.
You know what I mean?
I really don't.
I love sex in a gown. We never get to see sex in a gown.
We never get to see sex in a gown. We rarely get to see, and I rarely have sex where no clothes come off.
Rarely.
You know what I mean? But in the films, it happens.
But you know what I appreciated? Hugh's clothes came off.
Right.
Rebecca was like,
female director.
Yeah, Rebecca was like, you know, I'm going to keep my gown on and ride you on this chair.
100%.
And I think that is feminism.
I have a question for you.
Yeah.
Because I agree.
Yeah.
What did you think of the Tandiwe character? Did you think that
she was...
I'm happy
we're getting into her.
Here's one of the things about me, is I always want to get into Tandiwe.
Tandiwe
is the highlight of Westworld.
Tandiwe is unbelievable in everything she does.
Capital A actress.
Capital A actress. I think she, to me, like, really carry... I mean, Evan Rachel Wood is also iconic in Westworld.
She is amazing.
But Tandiwe carries Westworld in this way that I just... She was always my favorite. And I'm a Westworld person through
and
through.
Yeah, you're watching through the current
seasons.
Yeah.
I mean, I did get an audition for Westworld.
What for what? Did you play a hot robot?
No, I mean, and they don't release the sides.
Oh, so like they're the one of those.
I got like fake sides and the sides.
Of course.
And I was like, wait, is this literally sides from Broad City? They were like not Westworld sounding sides at
all. Okay.
But I'm a real Westworld freak.
So you must have been absolutely shooketh when you got an audition for it.
Yes. Oh my God.
I would love to play a Westworld robot that gets like fucked and killed.
When I was like delusional in this business first, my very first manager was like, what show do you want to be on? I was like, there's just one.
Westworld.
And it had just come out and I had just gotten a manager and I was like, this will be it for me. Mm-hmm. But anyway.
Yeah. Did you notice that she had sort of a Westworld vibe? Because she was like, there was like a daughter that she had like, quote unquote, abandoned.
Yeah.
Sort of calling back to the Maeve of it all.
Tandiwe is incredible because, I don't know, I think it is a real feat when you can really drop into a dystopian, crazy sci-fi neo-noir.
And make it grounded.
And make it super grounded.
Yeah.
And, you know, spoiler alert, she's like an alcoholic.
Mm-hmm.
But she does it so elegantly in it.
Yeah.
Is she an alcoholic? I don't know. Does she drink alcohol to like numb the trauma of being a soldier? Because there was a war.
Well, I definitely feel like she is grizzled.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? She's grizzled and we do get sort of, and I was really excited when this happened, and this is feminism as well. We do get sort of an intense Tandiwe Newton saves the day action sequence.
Yes.
We see Tandiwe fire a gun. There's an iconic moment where Hugh Jackman is getting drowned in a fish tank,
mm-hmm.
and there's very dangerous fish in there. You
very
might even call them
dangerous.
Sharks. You might even
very,
call them sharks.
Very, very dangerous.
It's a rule of culture. Sharks are fish.
Mm-hmm.
you have to understand, Tandiwe knows to shoot the fish tank.
Yes.
Because when you shoot a fish tank, it's going to break.
It breaks.
Guess what?
She breaks.
And anything in there is going down.
Down to the floor. Yeah. And guess what? They can't live without water.
No,
so they die.
That's famous.
That's famous. Fish actually can't live without water.
But you know who can't live submerged in the water?
Hugh Jackman.
Hugh Jackman, which is why it was huge that Tandiwe shot the fish
tank. And Tandiwe's such a good shot. Guess what? The bullet, Hugh Jackman watched it fly by in the water. And
another
that was a gorgeous shot.
I was going to say.
Yeah.
The shots in this movie.
The shots are unbelievable.
There's so many shots. There was so many shots in this film.
Also, what I love about this film, and I'm sorry that I keep on bringing up Westworld, but it is the merging of these ideas that mm-hmm. you fantasize about. Like, what if I could go back and relive a memory?
Yeah. Like, which one would you relive?
Oh my God. I was about to say I have so many, but actually I really only have like a few. All of mine are so emo though.
I know mine.
What's yours?
Okay, I'm looking at you right now. And so Greta and I have this thing where we're sort of unsure about the circumstances of when we first met.
Yes.
Because I'm just gonna talk about this. If I could go into the reminiscence,
okay.
This is what I would do. I would go back to years ago. It was friend of the show, Joel Kim Booster's birthday party. And he used to famously do this thing where he would have all gay men and one woman attend his birthday parties. And at this one birthday party he threw, Greta Titelman was the one woman. And this is the first night we met. I swear to God, I swear on my life, Greta had floor-length, straight blonde hair, like so long. And she says never in her life.
Never in my life.
I think that was just your energy. So but I'm almost positive I'm right. So I would like to reminiscence.
Okay.
I would like to climb in that water, honey.
Uh-huh.
Get me in the contraption. Put that needle in my neck.
Oh, wait, by the way, no one flinches.
We have to talk about how no one flinched.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
This is a future world where it's a sunken Miami and they all wear floor-length coats.
And they all have a 4-inch needle.
Just jammed into their neck and no flinch. Just has a peep.
No one gasps. No one does anything.
No. It's not even like, no one's even panicking about it. They're like, ooh, is it going to hurt?
No,
they're just like, stick that needle in my goddamn neck, honey. I'm trying to reminisce.
Yes.
Put me in that goddamn contraption so that I can go back to that moment and then be like, aha, because I know you had the floor length there.
And you know what I love about the contraption too?
Tell me.
And I want you to go back to that. And I want you to reminisce in that moment because you will see my hair was not that long.
Sure, sure, sure. I'm sure you'll be right. But I would like to reminisce
too. And here's what I love about Hugh Jackman. He says, I'm a brilliant creator.
Mm-hmm.
Let me create this crazy contraption.
Yeah.
That is so futuristic.
One of the most futuristic things I've seen.
But the only way that we can get there is by me standing next to you.
And doing a guided meditation.
Yeah.
I really liked that sort of like reference to the Calm app.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I thought that was really very, very now.
You're going to a place. He doesn't have an accent, but...
Oh, yeah, he doesn't have an accent
no.
in the movie.
And Tandiwe was American
in the movie.
Tandiwe was American. Hugh was American. Rebecca?
This is the thing. She had a British accent because it makes her what? More mysterious.
Yes, it does.
Harder to pin down.
Yes.
Because you know what's one of the most famous things about British people?
They
have these mysterious accents.
And you don't know what they are.
And you assume things about them.
Right.
Like they're smart.
Right. Like they're smart. Like they're rich.
And it's actually not possible that every single British person can be smart and rich.
It's not.
It's just not true.
It's simply not true.
It's simply untrue.
But you think about it. You think they're, you're an aristocrat. You're
right.
Sophisticated.
Exactly.
You're showing me how to eat a watercress tea sandwich and pouring me tea and milk or whatever.
Exactly. Tea and milk, et cetera.
The
tea and milk of it
you're
all.
You're wearing Hunter Rain boots.
It's
you're
a lot of
wrapping
imaging.
A Burberry coat in the rain.
It's a lot of imaging. I also wanted to point out, do you remember in the first reminiscence when we go to see Rebecca Ferguson's memory of losing her keys?
Well, this is what I wanted to bring up with you.
And I knew you'd want to bring this up.
I love
you screamed when we saw this.
Yes. So the thing about when we're introduced to reminiscence, it's people going back to very emotional times for them.
Yeah.
Times that, you know, they want to relive. Tender times. A veteran with his dog that he loved or, you know, just...
A woman with her lover
wanting to go back to this time that pulls at them emotionally.
Mm-hmm.
and why I gagged at Rebecca Ferguson and why I think this should go down as, when I say camp in a good way, mm-hmm. I mean, this is why I love movies. Mm-hmm. It's like, let's just have the most gorgeous woman wearing a cherry red satin gown walk into this science lab after hours.
With like a little bit of a hood she pulls off.
Yeah, yeah. Very like, exactly. And you see a silhouette. Mm-hmm. A silhouette comes into the science lab that used to be a bank.
Yeah.
After hours. Mm-hmm. And she's like, oh, I need help. And then Hugh obviously sees her with what? And she says, I can't find my keys.
Yeah.
Okay. So she needs to go under. She needs to go in the whole contraption, get nude out of the satin dress to find her keys. And I love that thought process for her. She says, I can't find my keys. Where am I going to go to find my keys? I'm not going to retrace my footsteps. What am I going to do? I'm going to go to the scientist in the bank.
Well, then you find out later that there was a whole other scheme.
Well, of course, it's never as simple as we think it's going to be.
But had it been that simple?
I would have gagged. Iconic. Vibrator on the floor.
Literally, I thought, okay, so the reason I set you up is because in the memory, she's looking for her keys, rifling through her apartment. She looks under her bed and her vibrator is on the damn ground underneath the bed. And Greta screams, why is her vibrator on the floor?
Yeah, like, girl, when you're done, you know, blasting off, you got a clean mother and put her away.
Okay, how do you clean that?
You have like sex toy cleaner.
I have seen, you know, fleshlights.
Yeah.
So I have seen some people put it in the dishwasher.
I think you can do that with fleshlights.
Mama.
Here's the thing. Fleshlights, you're going into them. They're not going into you. You know what I'm saying?
You're so right, Queen.
I'm so right.
You're so right, Queen.
I'm so right.
What did you feel about the sort of Stardust Cafe of the future where they were singing waitresses? I was really happy that those exist in the future.
Me
because
too.
I love Stardust Cafe.
I do too. And it's, you know what I like about seeing this sad but also kind of beautiful dystopian Miami?
Where they all wear coats.
In
a world where it's so hot.
Swamp.
It was iconic to me that it was a future world in mm-hmm. Miami that's become nocturnal so that we can escape the heat. But everyone has every inch of their skin covered in neon noir
yes,
coats.
Yes, yes.
Anyway,
exactly.
Continue.
It was just important for me to see that performance is alive and well still. That
Thank
we have
you.
Not, we have not,
Forsaken
we are
art.
In this, yeah, we are sad. We are in this land. The earth is on fire. We're mm-hmm. feeling awful. Climate change, all the stuff. But you know what we still have?
Mm-hmm.
We still have the wonder.
Mm-hmm.
We still have the play.
Yeah, the play.
We still have the joie de vivre
yes.
of live performance.
Yes.
And that made me feel good. Because
yes.
you know we got that.
The climate
that
report
climate
was not
report.
Good.
But at least we know.
It was very, it's going to be reminiscence.
It's going to be reminiscence.
That's what the climate report said, basically.
Literally.
The climate report said, stream reminiscence on
and
HBO Max or in theaters.
And you'll see.
And you'll see. And you'll see what we're headed towards. And it's not a world that I want to live in.
It's not. But you know what? If we had to, honey, we could still perform. And
yeah.
that's what made me feel okay about those dinner theaters.
Yeah. And to know that, like, you could still go to South Beach and, like, there might not be a beach. But there is live venue.
There might still be a drag show.
There might still be a drag show. And really, what was this film if not a drag show?
Oh, it was stunning. Let's talk about, I would love to briefly talk about the villain.
Mm-hmm.
Which...
The guy with... So basically, this is the sort of deal in a movie like this. If you see someone and half of his head is sort of like
covered in
burns and prosthetic scars. That's a villain. That's the villain. That's the villain right there. You gotta turn and run the other way. And
yeah.
a villain down. Because this guy's killing women. He's like...
He wants to kill children.
He wants to kill kids.
Yeah. He's a true, true, true villain. And I'm going to go back to, you know, complimenting Lisa Joy. Again, taking it to Westworld. Mm-hmm. Never shy of creating fully, fully, fully horrific villains.
Mm-hmm.
Always down to write a terrifying villain where she's just like, fuck it. He wants to kill the kid.
Yeah.
We're going to make this guy have a crazy burn on his head and kill the kid.
And here's the thing. When you see someone with a crazy burn on their head and we're in the world of reminiscence, you might think to yourself, oh, you know what's probably going to happen? and it does happen, we're going to see the memory of how that happened.
Yes.
And we will gain a sympathetic view of this person.
Yes.
But no, because we've seen how dark this person is in their soul.
Yes.
And in fact, we agree with Hugh. Yes. When he says, you're going to relive this memory forever.
For the rest of your life. Yeah, forever.
Which was really dark for me.
It was very dark. I mean, that is... And let's talk about that. Let's talk about that monologue work that Hugh had there for a moment.
Let's just say Hugh is holding the center.
And it's really a masterclass in articulation.
Mm-hmm.
It's a masterclass in locking in.
Leading man a tree.
Leading man a tree.
Which is what we call it.
Mouth work.
Honey.
So dropped it in that moment.
Yeah.
And that was a really gorgeous piece of the Hugh kind of oeuvre. If
and you know what he gets to do?
Hmm.
He gets to do that leading man thing of just burning
breathing.
With,
with
rage. And he gets to say this, where is she?
Yeah.
Which is like,
I love that.
To get to that point, like so few men in film get to the point where they're so iconic and they're such a leading man that they get to scream. But still repressed.
Yes.
Where is she?
Yes.
And it's just like, when you're in acting school.
Yes.
So many of us are told you're a character actor.
Right.
You know, you're supporting.
Right.
You're sort of the sidekick.
Right. You're always going to be the gay.
The gay. And so Hugh gets to the point where he gets to say this line. And let me tell you, he's one of our great leading men. And we're holding hands.
He is. He's one of the greatest leading men we've ever had.
Let's say that.
I'm just saying. And
can do it all. Wolverine, greatest showman. Reminiscence.
Yeah.
The movie Bad Education streaming on HBO Max.
Stunning work.
Can we talk about that?
Stunning work.
Him and Allison Janney in that.
Him and Allison Janney, amazing. Our dear friend Geraldine.
Geraldine Viswanathan.
Very.
Killed it.
Killed it.
Hugh Jackman can do it.
Anything.
All.
Anything. And I just.
Les Mis.
Oh, Les Mis.
We didn't say Les Mis.
He won an Oscar for that.
He was nominated for an Oscar for that. You better get your facts correct.
I'm sorry. I actually do.
Are you going to disagree with me?
No, I am not. Babe, I'm never disagreeing with you about who won an Oscar for what. I've learned my lesson. Let's talk about his theater work. I mean.
Oh, yeah.
Winning Tony.
The Boy from Oz.
The Boy from Oz.
Yeah.
It's just. Here's when you know you're dealing with a star. When you go to their Wikipedia page and then you need to go to another Wikipedia page mm-hmm. for the list of their work.
Oh, yeah. When they say list
honey,
of awards
it's not
nominations.
Gonna fit.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not going to fit.
Yeah.
This catalog
no.
has its own site.
Like, here's the deal with Hugh Jackman. And this is one of the things that every actor wants to be said about them. She books.
Mother
she
books.
Mother books.
And you know what? He's going to be an EGOT. He is just missing his Academy Award.
Whew.
He has won a Golden Globe, a Grammy, an Emmy, and a Tony.
So he's got them all and the Golden Globe.
Yeah. So all that he needs. Well, he needs a SAG, I think. Everyone wants a SAG.
See, here's the thing. People talk about wanting to be EGOT. But if you're EGOT and you don't have a Globe, which, by the way, no longer exists, and you don't have a SAG, like, shouldn't you be a completist?
I would want to be EGOT.
EGOT.
That is... Emmy, Grammy,
Globe,
Oscar, Tony, SAG.
And I would want to be EGOTSK, which is Emmy,
Kennedy?
Grammy.
Is that a Kennedy honor?
No, Golden Globe, Oscar, Tony, SAG, Kids' Choice Award.
Oh.
Because if you don't have the blimp,
yeah,
you haven't touched the four quadrants.
And you know
what, I mean?
What else I want, too? I think I also need an MTV Movie Award.
100% VMA.
VMA. Mm-hmm. I would love a Moon Man. Like, hello. And you know what else I'd love?
Iconic.
I hate to say it.
What?
A Peabody.
Yeah, I want a Peabody too.
I want that Peabody. And I want that Kennedy. I want that
you know
Kennedy
what I
Award
want?
Too.
I want a Newbery Award.
What's the Newbery?
For children's literature.
I would love a Newbery Award.
I would love that.
You know what I would also love?
What?
A Pulitzer.
Yeah.
And you know, to me, a Pulitzer, it's just, does it get better than that?
I want the Nobel Peace Prize.
I would love a Nobel.
I feel like my shelf is missing a Nobel Peace Prize.
And I think you should get nominated for a Nobel Peace Prize.
Yeah, for this film, Reminiscence.
Honestly, in that world, he would get a Nobel Peace Prize for breakthroughs in science.
Literally, he would. Because let's just talk about the fact that this Reminiscence machine
yes.
is literally like... I'm interested in someone developing the technology where this could happen, because it's sort of those, one of those sci-fi things where it's like, we believe this is in the realm of possibility.
And this is why we got to say we love the creators. This is the same thing we feel about Westworld.
Yeah.
Where we're like, oh, in the distant future, this fully immersive, crazy world could exist. Like, I'm sorry, if you have Jeff fucking Bezos flying his ass to space, I'm sure in, you know, 50 years from now, there's going to be a crazy ass theme park.
Well, you know, you know about the news that came out this week.
What?
Immersion is going to the next level. So speaking of Westworld, like, and in Disney World, you can book a Star Wars hotel that you do like a galactic adventure for 2 days.
See?
It's expensive as absolute shit.
We gotta
do it. But you can do it. And so I'm saying, this Westworld of it all is real.
But here's what I have to say about my reminiscence, because I didn't get to tell you what memory I
was supposed to go back to.
The first time you took me to Disney.
You want to go back?
I want to go back.
Because the second time I went to Disney, you didn't love.
I loved, but it wasn't like the first time. It wasn't like the first time. The first time was...
Yeah.
I went to Disney for the first time in 2019.
Mm-hmm. For my birthday on March 5th, 2019.
I was...
Gagged. Yeah,
I couldn't believe it. Yeah. I couldn't believe the fun, the joy. I couldn't believe the rides. I was truly a child. I was a child again.
You were a child again. And so that's reminiscence.
Yeah.
Because we tried to go again, and we couldn't duplicate the experience,
no.
Which is why we need reminiscence.
Yes.
And just so everyone is out there is clear, reminiscence, it turns out, is an incredibly difficult word to spell.
I don't think I can spell it right now.
Well, I here's a tool. Remini, as in Leah Remini.
R-E-M-I-N-I.
Yes. And so this is the thing. Everyone knows how to spell Remini.
Yeah.
Because she's one of the most famous women
in
the world.
National treasure.
Sense.
S-C-E-N-C-E.
Remini. Sense.
R-E-M-I-N-I-S-C-E-N-C-E.
And now you can spell reminiscence. So Greta, this is the point of the show where I usually would do a segment that I do every single week called But How Is It a Queer Narrative?
Mm-hmm.
But here's the thing about this movie, and we said it the second we turned it on, and we say this with all the love in the world. And it, let me just say this to everyone listening.
Mm-hmm.
If you are straight, that's okay.
Yeah.
I have a cousin that's straight. I know a lot of people that's straight. My dad is straight.
We know a lot of people that are straight.
He's very like supportive of me in like a gay way.
My husband is straight. One of your best friends.
He's one of my dear friends, and he's straight, and I don't judge him at all.
No.
And life is very much a journey.
Mm-hmm.
But when we started watching this movie, you said this is heterosexual vibes.
Yes.
This is one of the straightest films I've seen.
Yes, it is. It is straight culture.
Yeah.
And straight culture to the highest. If straight culture were to be praised for something, it would be a film like this.
Right. So with respect, I will not be doing the segment.
There you go. Because it is straight culture.
I couldn't find a queer narrative here, which is saying a lot for me. I could not find anything queer about this film.
The only queer narrative about this film
is Tandiwe slaying.
Tandiwe slaying.
Yeah.
And going to the scientist to find your keys.
Yeah, that was kind of queer,
That's
wasn't it?
That's the only queer narrative. And the earring.
Okay, wait. Play the... do it. Ready? Here we go. Tandiwe slaying earrings. Going to a scientist to find your keys. Okay, and that's how this film is a queer narrative.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
Otherwise, we have a lot of straight energy happening.
It's an incredibly straight film. And again... I say this, and I know that like a lot of straight people are very on guard. You know what I mean? They feel that queer is the new black, and they like orange is the new black. When Elle Woods said like, whoever said orange is the new pink was seriously disturbed.
Yeah,
you know that's sort of like the way straight people feel now.
Yeah, they feel queer is the new hetero.
Say that,
mother.
So I think that we've pretty much covered everything there is to cover about this film. I think my favorite thing about it was the fact that Rebecca Ferguson sort of by being in it makes it also a fragrance ad.
Yes. Oh my God.
Just
I was
stunning.
Like, just stunning. I was like, are we in reminiscence or are we in a gorgeous commercial for J'adore Dior?
Like J'adore Dior. She also is iconic in that last scene where she's like in the reminiscence talking to Hugh, but she's
talking to the...
the villain.
That's a big spoiler. But yeah.
I mean, look.
The whole thing is a spoiler. The whole thing is a spoiler. But that was a gorgeous scene. And when you get to see those, like, gold threads that appear when you're in the reminiscence.
I loved the gold threads.
Me too. And that's liked, queer.
And that...
Gold threads.
Great.
Yeah.
So, wow, it ended up being more queer than I thought.
Yes.
And is that a lesson for me?
Yes.
And with that,
it is.
We're going to wrap up. So, Greta, I want to thank you so, so much for being
Matt,
here.
Thank
I mean,
you.
You're my favorite person to talk
you're
to.
You're my favorite person to talk to.
You got to stream Los Spookies. We have the ambassador, Melanie Gibbons, here.
I'm here.
And, you know, keep your eyes on that HBO streaming service, HBO Max. Thank you so much for being here.
Thanks, Matt.
Oh, I'm going to reminisce about this one.
HBO Max Movie Club is a production of HBO Max and iHeartRadio, hosted by me, Matt Rogers. It's executive produced by Ethan Fixell, produced by Camila Salazar, researched by Steve Griffin, and engineered, edited, and mixed by Matt Stillo. If you haven't already subscribed, rated, or reviewed HBO Max Movie Club, please do so on the iHeartRadio app, HBO Max, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you might get your podcasts. Thanks for checking out the HBO Max Movie Club. You can watch Reminiscence in theaters and on HBO Max, streaming only on the ad-free plan in the U.S. for a limited time. You can also watch most of the movies we talked about today on HBO Max as well. Check out the show notes for the full list. Okay, bye!